Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was the chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 14-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this next to the last Sunday edition of Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
More importantly,
August.
This is the last weekend without college football.
Oh, my God, help us.
week zero is next weekend. I'm with everyone else, NCAA. Just call it week one.
Week one.
Just call it week one.
Yeah.
The stats count week zero, so clearly it's not a zero.
Yeah.
Call it week one.
There you go.
So bust out your tailgating recipes, brother. Bust them out.
Yep.
It's time. Whatever you've been percolating over on the summer, you know, your bacon rack Twinkies or whatever it is you want to make, now's the time, man. Have you ever seen a Texas Twinkie?
No.
A Texas Twinkie is barbecue.
Okay, I can see that.
It is a giant jalapeno cored out and filled with whatever.
Yeah.
Wrapped in bacon like and then smoked.
Yeah. That I just can't good. Do jalapenos. I'm too old for that stuff
Sweet
nowadays.
Sweet Melissa's, which is a song
by the Allman Brothers?
Well, unfortunately. Nah, it's a good one. Steve don't like you messing with his Allman Brothers. Walking on the fighting side of you, ain't I? Merle Haggard. Yeah. Well, no, completely. Oh, Sweet Melissa's makes jalapenos with no heat. They have crossbred them with some other mild peppers, so you get the jalapeno flavor and no heat. They're more expensive than the other jalapenos you'll see, but they'll be wrapped in a container all their own, and they are quite good. And they have the green and the red. The red have a really nice flavor because the green, anything green is going to have chlorophyll in it. Chlorophyll is bitter.
Okay.
So, you know, the red bell peppers versus green bell peppers, well, they let them mature.
Okay.
And once they get red or the yellow ones, they lose the bitterness from the chlorophyll and they get very sweet. Not sweet like a lump of sugar, but, you know, sweet as in not hot.
Now, folks, where else can you go on the radio or TV for that matter and learn this stuff? Nowhere.
Google.
Google, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. I had some neighbors for a while that would love to eat spicy food but just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And so I would make them stuff jalapenos with those. And because they love stuffed jalapenos, they're like, oh, we get them at the restaurant. They're so hot. And I'm like, I've never had a stuffed jalapeno at a restaurant that was hot, ever.
Hmm.
But to them, it was very hot still. Yeah. It was enough to, they'd rather not eat it.
Well, that's probably me.
Yeah. It gets a little bit harder for the body to process, kept saying, so
well,
when you get older.
And you're going to be there soon.
Oh, yeah. So far, old iron stomach's doing okay, even with the trauma in 2015.
Well,
but it's coming.
Just,
yeah.
It's just may not affect me, but the time I'm sitting there eating it. Mm-hmm. But later on, it will. It'll get me.
Yeah. Once the body starts losing its ability to process the extra acid in the stomach, it'll
keeping Rolaids in business.
Yeah, I mean I understand that's inevitable. Until it gets here, I'm going to enjoy it while I can.
There you go. I did too.
I did too. The Panther Brazil. That's what I do. By the way, I was thinking when you were talking about spices with, you know, jalapenos, curry chicken wings, curry.
Mm-hmm.
Doing those like for a tailgate.
We used to do a green curry buffalo wing or a hot wing at Lucky. Two of the owners at the time were Indian.
Okay.
And they said, you know, well, why can't we have 37 flavors like the Hurricane wing shop. And I said, have you ever been in their kitchen? No. I said, they have a table completely covered with containers for all 37 sauces.
Wow.
We don't have room in this kitchen for a table of any kind.
Yeah. And he goes, little bitty.
Oh, yeah. He goes, what? Could you do some curry? I did a green curry wing and was really good. But other than people from the UK or fans of Indian food, I couldn't get anybody to try it.
I never heard of Ayesha curry.
Well, that's
interesting.
The whole idea of curry is funny because there is nothing called curry in India. Curry was, a British soldier. Either a colonel or captain or General Curry, who brought back the mix that they used in India, which is called garam masala. And that's what we refer to as curry.
Oh, gotcha.
Is garam masala. And then they started calling any of those really flavorful, aromatic, spicy even sauces from it's India, Nepal, Thailand. I love the Thai curries.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are done with coconut milk, which you don't see as often in Indian or Nepalese cuisine.
Okay.
Typical America,
we just prostitute the word and make everything the same.
Right. Our vocabulary here, especially
like
for food.
Yeah. And curry, I like curry chicken. You know, there's a few dishes I've had with curry. But curry is just like garlic. It's sticks
strong.
With you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a whole bunch of different spices. And it varies from town to town. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not one set recipe for India. It's a subcontinent.
Well, it's like when you get a Thai recipe restaurant, none of those are the same. I mean, they may taste a little the same, but they're not all the same.
Yeah. And the same, especially with the Indian curries, is because you've got a billion people, so you've probably got 2 billion interpretations of everything that we would call a curry.
Good point.
Now, since we're on the subject, because this is a cuisine I love, Yak the Kathmandu Kitchen. There's one in Fairhope. There's one over on Dolphin Street. That is Nepalese and Indian food, Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
Their tandoori chicken is the best roast chicken you will ever eat in your life. Mm. And it's not terribly spicy. You can get it on the buffet at lunch, and that's a milder version of what they serve to order at dinner. But if you want an introduction to that you will absolutely love, get the tandoori chicken.
That's from where?
Yak the Kathmandu Kitchen.
Oh, Yak the Kathmandu.
Yeah.
Yak the Cat.
Yeah. It is a deep red color because there's a good deal of paprika in the yogurt sauce. And that's what a tandoori chicken is. It's a yogurt with different flavors in it. They marinate the chicken in it for about 15 minutes. Beyond that, the yogurt will break the chicken completely down. You can't marinate chicken and yogurt overnight. You'll just have a really thick sludge the next morning. So 15 minutes.
So you have a chicken nugget from McDonald's, is basically.
Oh, no, it'd be much tastier.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Chicken pudding.
Yeah, but and then they roast it in a tandoor, which is a special clay oven.
Uh-huh.
And it just, the skin gets crispy. The colors from the yogurt sauce get brilliantly red on there. But nothing comes off on your fingers, really, because it gets baked into it. Just tandoori chicken, one of the great exports from India.
Wonder if they could do that DoorDash.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Well, there's so many, there's so many of the restaurants that I've noticed that I really want to do, but DoorDash, they aren't connected with DoorDash yet.
Yeah.
And some things you don't want to DoorDash because when they get to you, it's like,
fried food doesn't go that well. It's important to point out that tandoori chicken is the official dish of India. It's also the official dish of Scotland, where it was invented.
Really?
Yes. In fact, Simon Majumdar, a buddy of ours, learned the original tandoori chicken recipe from the pub owner in Scotland, where it was actually invented. And then it migrated back to India, where it became very popular.
How about that?
Yeah.
So tell me once again how that isn't Irish.
It's from Scotland.
You're right. Sorry, Scotland.
That's how it's not Irish.
Aren't they next door to each other?
Yeah, they're across the Irish Sea from one another.
251-343-0106. If you want to get in on the conversation, I've heard somebody say that before. I'm copying it.
A bottle of white.
bottle of red, perhaps a bottle of rosé instead. Get a table.
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald, devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, I need to correct something I said in the last segment. As soon as we went to commercial, I remembered it. I confused two different Indian dishes.
Oops.
Tandoori chicken, always been cooked in India. Chicken tikka masala was the one created in Scotland and then migrated back to India, where it's now the national dish.
I got you. I got you.
And similar flavors but different style. The tikka masala tends to be more wet. And like I say, with the tandoori chicken, it's dry when it's cooked. Like if you've ever had wings with a dry rub instead of a sauce,
you
that's kind of what
that
the tandoori
in the tiki room, do you?
No, it's tikka.
Oh, tikka.
Yeah, chicken tikka masala. Gotcha.
Hmm. By the way, it says on text line, Mike and Stu, shout out to Danny and David Calametti in Alabama, coasting on the Coastal Tailgate Cook-Off Challenge yesterday at the Wharf. Great
Did
event
you
with
that,
awesome tailgating foods. Very inspiring with some gourmet examples. All the teams worked hard in that heat. Hats off to them. And can't wait for the next year. David Hubble.
Ah,
cool beans.
Very good. I wonder if David judged.
Doesn't say.
Okay. But I understand we have a caller right now who wants to talk about curry.
Caller, you're on.
Go for it.
Hey. Hi, guys. You know, I love your show. I listen to it, you know, just about every single Sunday. And I want to tell you something. I'm a military brat. I was born overseas. And my mother fell in love with curry in Africa. So she learned how to cook curry, you know, just how they're supposed to do it, or they do it. I mean, I have her recipe written down on one of those 3x5 index cards.
Yeah, take a picture and text it to us.
Well, I will try to do that. Anyway, neither here nor there. My mom, you know, she went through all the whole thing with squeezing the coconut milk through the, you know, the thing. the coconut milk through the stuff, and then my mom would put out the oranges and the peanuts and the and everything. So the last Thanksgiving I got to spend with my family, my mom put out this huge spread. It took her 2 days to make this curry. I promise you. And it, you know what? My mom just, she was the bomb. She loved to cook, and she used to do curry just like that. I am a fan of yellow curry for some reason. Mm. Red curry doesn't agree with me, but yellow curry, I don't care, chicken, shrimp, whatever. It is the best.
It is delicious,
I just wanted to throw that out there because, you know, I've been exposed to a lot of different foods, and I love yellow curry. Thanks for bringing that up. Okay. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. That's probably the only one I've ever had. It was like the yellow
stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the more predominant. Now, what?
And see, I'll be honest, I never knew there was more than one.
Oh, yeah. Red curry.
Green curry. There's a green curry. There's a masalam, perhaps. It starts with an M. And that's just in Thai cuisine. But, I mean, there's curries in the Caribbean as well. I mean,
I can see that.
Curried goat is one of the national dishes of Jamaica. It's delicious. Just stewed goat.
That's not part of jerk, though. Jerk's a whole different.
Yeah, jerk's a different thing. But the curried goat is a stew of the goat meat in a curry. It's a much milder curry than what you would find in Southeast Asia. And keep in mind, what we're doing is we're using the word curry as a catch-all for a bunch of spices and sauce mixes that were considered exotic to the English palate.
When you say Thai curries, that's when they start coloring. The green curry, the red curry, yellow curry, massaman.
Massaman was the other one I was
thinking. Penang curry.
Penang is very good, too. It's kind of pinkish. Mm-hmm. I believe it's the one that has pineapple in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. which would be Mike's
crushed
curry.
Crushed peanuts and fragrant lime leaves.
Yeah. Yep. Now, she got to experience curry in its purest, most natural sense. And why most Americans were turned off to it is because in the 1970s, when people were trying to get more exotic with their cooking, we'd fallen in love with this fondue thing. We'd discover something called tacos. So they were trying to expand. And they would get the jars of McCormick curry powder, which is probably the worst example of curry you can find, is those jarred curry powders. Still, they're okay. Yeah. They're fine. And they didn't know how to use it, and they were killing their casseroles with tons of curry. And that's where most of it, because my mother couldn't stand it, but she'd only had it in cream of chicken noodle soup, curried potluck casseroles and stuff like that with Chinese noodles on top. And
that's
we didn't know what we were doing, but we were using it as liberally as we would, garlic powder and all of that. It's very strong flavored, so you have to approach it from a different perspective.
There's some global curries. Japanese curry, which is curry, Indonesian, Malaysia, Jamaican curry, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So interesting.
Incidentally, because I know everybody's wondering what wine goes great with curry is.
Yeah,
Gewürztraminer,
Pinot Noir.
Yeah,
really, Pinot just a nice white, clear
red.
That's red. Pinot Noir is red.
Pinot Grigio is the white.
I knew.
Noir means black, of course, and Grigio or Gris means gray. So, because the skins,
everyone knows
the skins on the Pinot Gris grapes or Pinot Grigio have like a frost over them. Like gray. So they call it gray instead of white. They call it
like a haze kind of look. Yeah.
You know, if it didn't come in a box. Would you put?
I mean, you always recommend the German whites with spicy food. Would you put Gewürztraminer with that?
Is it really spicy though? Is it?
Curry?
Yeah.
Most of them are.
I don't get heat on curry. Now that I've learned different curries,
you're eating the wrong
dry Rieslings, or Gewürztraminers.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be just German.
Yeah. Now, the heat varies massively from no heat whatsoever to blow your doors off.
Right? Yeah.
The popular one in London is made with the Naga chili, which was kind of a hybrid that they invented to be as hot as possible. It was, like the big brother of the ghost pepper and all of that was the first hottest chili in the world. And those Naga curries are insanely hot.
Washington State makes incredible Rieslings and Gewürztraminers and Pinot Gris. Of course, you got Oregon really does a phenomenal job with their Pinot Noir, but Pinot Gris is delicious that they make is awesome. Any of those should go well with it.
So a red would be your better overall choice with curry?
You'd have to taste the curry to be honest.
I really would now that he's mentioned that, because some have got more heat than other.
Right.
And it's not just heat. Some may have 12 spices. Some may have 120.
Well, do you also consider what they put in, potatoes, peanuts, all that?
Yeah, that would influence some, but that's usually going to go with the sauce.
The what it does, it enhances the flavor of the spice. Not, it doesn't calm the heat down.
Okay.
It just it just enhances the
flavors. Isn't that what the rice is for, though, is to kind of help absorb that heat?
And so that you have fiber in you so that you're not hungry immediately. It fills you up. It's the same purpose that potatoes and bread serve.
When they serve hot wings, that's why partly they say the celery or whatever is to kind of help absorb the heat.
Yeah, so that you could dip the blue cheese, not ranch, it doesn't belong there, the blue cheese into your mouth.
Had to get that in, didn't it?
Yeah, and the lactose and everything about the dairy of the dressing is what cools you off.
I got you.
So, and you just use the celery and the carrots as a vehicle to get it in your mouth.
So they also, speaking of heat, jalapenos, they say to eat bread. Or cracker.
Yeah, milk. That helps somewhat. It'll bound with it. Milk is good because of the lactose in it and because of the...
Maybe that's why they put the coconut milk in it?
No, they do it because it tastes great. You got to remember, these cultures don't have any problem with the heat.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a thought.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, they had coconut milk and they had these flavors and they had rice.
Okay.
That's why...
Well, I was just trying to
yeah.
put the logic to it in my brain.
for us, yeah, the logic is these are the classic ingredients of mm-hmm. this dish. It's the classic ingredients of those dish because that's what was growing nearby.
I got you. Well, that makes sense. I just, you know, I was sitting there thinking every time I get a curry dish, mm-hmm. you know, I get the jasmine rice.
Oh,
and I get,
and it's delicious.
Dude, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Or basmati. Ooh, those are the two main ones, the jasmine and the basmati.
So I'm going to the store.
And is that what you're making a list later on today?
They also have a hybrid called jasmati that is a hybrid of jasmine rice and basmati called jasmati.
Interesting.
Go by Food Pack on Old Chill Road.
Right.
Because they have the widest variety.
Yeah.
There is an indigenous rice to America cultivated here called Carolina Gold.
Ooh.
251-343-0106. When we come back, we'll be back.
You'll see it. You'll hear us.
Girl, you know that there's one thing that I love, but it's not you I'm thinking of. I want the ultimate cheeseburger.
Break it down.
Cheese meat, cheese meat, and that's it.
For more than a decade, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot smack, but I got a spicy monkey riding on my back. Don't eat beignets, too much sugar and dough, but I will pay for gumbo. I will pay for gumbo.
It's Mike, you want to talk?
Hey, I'm sitting here. You can talk. This is your show, too. Well, Steve, you can talk.
I brought it back in after the last one.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Hey,
how about we let Cookie talk?
We're back.
How about we just let Cookie talk?
Okay.
Talk, Cookie.
Cookie, where you been? Where you been, girl? Lord.
I've been and my dog just turned 16
oh, wow.
last week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
My dog just turned 69 2 weeks ago. Speak.
Well, Mike. He's 107 in dog years.
What am I in dog years?
About 490.
So I ain't there yet, but I'm working on it, okay? but also, the curry thing, I'm so glad that you guys are bringing this up, because this is somewhere where carnivores and vegetarians mm-hmm. can meet all over the world.
There are some delicious vegetarian curries out there. In fact, I would argue it's the curry that makes it delicious.
Well, okay, if you like peanuts, which I love peanuts.
Chickpeas. Chickpeas are in it all.
Oh, chickpeas. Yes, yes, yes. We're talking Africa. We're talking India.
Mm-hmm.
Peanuts in a curry. Well, I don't even know the names. Okay, y'all can research it. You know, it's like it's your show. But the chickpeas, man, I love chickpeas. Which they to me they're very similar in taste and texture.
You can use them interchangeably in some dishes. If you can't find the tahini,
I do it all the time.
Yeah, all the time. To make your hummus, you can use unsweetened peanut butter in its place. They work well together.
Yeah, well, and the chickpeas themselves, I just want to say for now, because we're in the world is in a situation where we can't afford to waste food, period. So chickpeas have, you know, with the nutritional contents that they have, or anything else, that even when it's too high of a salt that you need to eat, on its own, don't throw it away.
Yep.
Pour it into something, and then use it as a broth. Even if you just use it to make ramen with.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, something that my favorite meatloaf recipe that is my favorite carnivore fans recipe. I used just a basic can of field peas.
Mm-hmm.
And they went nuts over it. They went, "We want to do this for church." And I went, "Okay." You know, it's Christian Baptist. You know, they loved it because it was not dry.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do that with anything. I know that you, Chef Stu, have a lot more experience with all this stuff than I do. But my experiences are not bad. They're just different. Mm. I appreciate hearing what you guys have to say, even Mike.
Yeah, Mike just talked. Mike was being a total vegan with those wines, wasn't he?
I got to kick him a little bit, right? You know, I'll make sure he's still awake. Mikey is still here.
You have no idea how close that comes to being true sometimes. On the chickpea thing.
Because I am not different from him, okay?
So with the chickpeas, you're talking about chickpeas and curry. You can dry out the canned chickpeas, roast them in the oven to make a crunchy snack, and toss that in a little curry powder.
Delicious. Now, you can do it with peanut powder also. Don't forget peanut powder. A lot of people don't know about that. If you have not experimented with it, give it a try.
Do you do that with oil, or how do you apply the powder to that?
It's like anything else. You do it however you want to. If it doesn't work, then you don't admit it to anybody. Just, you know, like, I don't know, use it for compost.
When you say peanut powder, are you talking about a peanut butter-flavored powder?
No, I'm talking about a powder made from peanuts.
Okay.
And I would recommend that all of us who live here in this hurricane-prone, look, this is from experience for me, having made it through more than one hurricane and having to totally rebuild it, yada-da-da-da, to have these things that you can use with minimal reconstitution, like purified water, which hopefully you'll be able to at least get your hands on that, or whatever else you got, you know.
I have lots of dehydrated water. I just don't know what to add to it.
Add water.
No, you add peanut powder if you got any brain.
So the peanut powder, you add a little water to the
baby. You just
hit the nail on the head.
You disqualified both Mike and myself. So this is a powder. If you add a little water, it'll turn into a peanut butter-like substance?
Yes, or sauce, or soup, or, you know, curry. Hey, curry.
A peanut curry.
Whatever. You're the chef. I ain't the chef.
Hey, you know, they invent new ingredients every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this.
And I'm saying, if nobody knows about this, that they might want to look into it and have it in their hurricane emergency pantry.
Hmm. Would be a good source of good lean protein in an emergency situation, for sure.
And the other thing is that if you're dealing with curry, there is more than one curry.
Boy,
there is a plant that's called curry. I'm sure you already knew about this, right?
Right. And sometimes the leaves of it are used to make curry, but most of the time not.
Well, and then there's also the blends, which are infinitesimal, aren't they? You know?
Every town in India has a different version.
Well, and apparently everybody everywhere has a different version. Like I said, particularly South American and African.
Yep, and we mentioned in the last segment, too, in the Caribbean, which those are very mild from a heat standpoint, which are probably more like Mike, Mike needing less spicy food. That would probably be best for him right now. Because it's probably the only thing in the Jamaican food that's not spicy.
Well, there are some of these things we can actually grow here for ourselves to enjoy and to share with other people. Anyway, I still love y'all.
Well, we still love having you on.
See you later.
All right. Have a good day,
Thank
Cookie.
You for calling in. Great hearing from you.
How about
what was her name again? It's been so
Cookie.
Long. Cookie. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, by the way, Tusker texted in, said, FYI, I was born in Ghana, and cheesecloth is what my mom used for coconut milk.
Okay. Helped that makes sense. That yeah.
Another texter says, as well as Bobby Flay way back in the early days of grilling and chilling, had a great recipe for lemongrass, heat, and coconut milk for mussels.
You know,
Stacy,
the best green curry.
Son, by the way, Mike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the best green curry I've ever had was prepared by this guy named Emeril Lagasse.
That was all part of a green chicken Thai recipe. So,
Green. He did it. He did a green curried mussels, freshwater mussels, steamed in green curry.
Sounded like something from Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, I'd like. Well, if you can rhyme that, go ahead.
Emeril has done this to me a few times where he's done something that I was skeptical of, but I tried it and realized he knows more than I do.
Mm.
And the green curry mussels were one of them because I was like, this just seems more like we're trying to seem international, all this. Mm-hmm. And then I tried the first mussel and went, oh my gosh, that's the best thing here. It was unbelievable. Another one he did was he did the cowboy ribeyes. The 2-inch thick, 45 minutes on a charcoal grill to get them medium rare. And then his steak sauce was a dozen fried oysters. And I went, well, that's the showmanship. Mm. Then I put fried oysters with a steak one time and went, oh, my gosh. Both in your mouth at the same time. Mm. Fried oyster and a chunk of steak.
That'd be about the only way I could do an oyster.
And then one other.
Can't do oysters.
Love them. I love them every way. Yep. You can do them.
Now, can you do curry oysters?
I don't see why not.
Yeah. Why not?
Now, keep in mind, with oysters, as soon as they hit heat, they're going to start releasing the natural water that's in them, and they're like 90% water. So, like, if you ever get the steamed oysters like Wenzel's does and some other places, they go in normal size. They come out like a clam strip.
You know, I like baked oysters or grilled oysters. Well, they're grilled, they're good. Yeah. They are good, but I prefer raw oysters.
Fried raw off the shell.
Mm-hmm.
Or smoked.
Now, we're coming up on the good months for oysters.
Mm-hmm. Months with an R in them.
Yep, at the end.
There's actually scientific proof of that. Those are the months with the least rainfall along the southeast. Therefore, there's less fresh water going into the Gulf waters.
Mm-hmm.
When the fresh water comes in is when they have to shut them down because they'll be any number of microbes that it's going to take a little while for the oysters to process out.
Ah, that makes sense.
And I do love the farm-raised oysters a lot.
Yeah, and those are usually in protected waters, too. So
because of that?
Yeah.
They're not on the bottom. They're
suspended.
On a rack that's suspended.
If you've not looked into any of it,
is that like getting glamping? You're really not camping, but you're...
This is called aqua farming.
Uh-huh.
And what it is a sustainable way to get the same foods that we've been enjoying without depleting the supply.
Okay.
And as an off product of the extra work, you get just perfect oysters that are geared towards whatever you're looking for. If you want them sweet, then you get a particular oyster and you farm that. If you like them salty, if you like them large, if you like them small, you get that particular oyster seed from that. And build your entire farm that oyster.
No, wait a minute. When you say oyster seed.
No, they don't grow from seeds like birds do. But it's just, your seed oysters. The ones you're going to build your colony from.
I just didn't want to do anything misleading here. I'm thinking, money grows on trees
too. The farming of the oysters is a restaurant like Lemoyne's, they can get whatever size they want.
Yeah. Hummingbird Way, we talked about, they usually have Mobile or Gulf oysters, and then they have two or three boutique selections from one maybe, Murder Point here in Mobile or one of the other. I mean, we've got so many now.
Between here and Baldwin County,
I've been here 36 years and didn't know this.
251-343-0106. Be like Cookie and give us a call.
Midnight confessions, whiskey therapy sessions, buying drinks to buy some time beneath the stained glass neon lights while the bartender listens. As long as you're tipping.
They are the dynamic duo of dining. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All righty then. I was sitting here this morning walking in the studio looking at Stu's shirt.
Yeah.
Lauren Murphy, a friend of ours.
And the psychedelics. She's moving back to the Mobile area.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
This is home for her now.
I guess so. She's an extraordinary life, and it's influenced her music. And it's funny, the music that she has done in Madisonville does not sound like what she was doing in Northern California. And
you got to you got to feed your audience, you know, what they want.
But. Well, it's not that. Her music is influenced mm-hmm. by where she lives. And she used to live in this old El Dorado, California. It's an old gold mining town, mm-hmm. northern part of California where no cool people live. And in an old mountain cabin where it snowed them in all the time. And it had a real pioneer feel to her music. And there was a pioneer graveyard in this town. And she would go and visit it and see the women who were buried there by themselves, which was unheard of in the 1800s. And then she'd go to the town archives and look up the history of those women and found some incredible stories.
She did a great job filling in for you when you were out with your Bobo.
Yeah, and she came in with both of us one time. She's a whole lot prettier. When the psychedelics came out.
She's a whole lot prettier than you are.
She's prettier than even you are, Mike. Yeah, and you're a pretty boy.
Speaking of pretty, Jarhead, how are you, man?
Hey, Jarhead.
Talking about pretty boys.
Jarhead, are you pretty?
No.
Pretty ugly. Like my dad used to say, pretty ugly and pretty up to stay that way?
I got a face for radio and a voice for a mime.
What's on your mind?
I know my segment is short, no pun intended, so I got a couple things I want to get going here, so let me get started.
All right,
y'all. First off, Alabama fans do not like Curry.
He
could not beat Auburn.
Best coach they had between Bear Bryant and Nick Saban. And I'll stand by that.
Lord, wow.
All right, if you like your pepper stuff and you don't like hot peppers, try banana or giant Marconi peppers. I love giant Marconi pepper stuff. They are terrific. Mike, don't let them make fun of you the way you eat your hot dog. Because I don't eat my hot dog that
You're
way.
You're the only one who brought that chili. Back up, man. I don't.
I
had successfully suppressed that memory.
A knife and a fork.
Yeah.
Especially when I go to the whacked out wiener and I get that junkyard dog.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to pick that thing up and eat it.
Well, I happened to.
Challenge accepted.
Last Monday. Was it last Monday? I went to. The place there at the Loop, God, what's the name? Urban Dog.
Ooh.
Beautiful coleslaw, best coleslaw I've had since Conquer the Walk. I ate my hot dog with a fork. I mean, I'm sorry, by hand. I ate it by hand. And I don't do that often.
You eat your coleslaw that way?
No, I use a fork for that. But
I use a spoon.
But
he separates the cabbage from the mayonnaise.
On the foodie site, on the South Alabama Foodies, everybody rakes me about the fork and knife thing, and
they should.
Been going on for 3 years now, I think. Yeah. So that's all right. Yeah. I'm a big boy; I can take it.
Yeah. All right. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the Steel Creek boat launch.
Yeah,
and how nice it was.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out this week, Saraland is getting $2.5 million from Go Mesa to fix up their boat launch.
Indeed.
Supposed to be an expanded launch, a new pier and fishing cleaning station, playground, restrooms, picnic area, new entrance and signage. So we'll see what this is going to look like. I know it probably ain't going to be the same as Steel Creek because it's not going to have that big meeting facility at it. But, I mean, with $2.5 million, you can make a heck of a boat launch and place to go. Yeah.
And it's a happening little park there too. It's named after somebody. But every time I've been.
Where's it at?
Back behind Big Lots. Yeah, you go. Yeah, BioSera's back there. If you go far enough off the highway in that direction, you'll hit water.
We're talking about up 65 though.
Yeah, Saraland.
Yeah.
Where were you thinking? What part of Saraland were you thinking of that wasn't near 65?
No, I'm just saying. I didn't hear y'all say Saraland.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I was in my own little world over here.
Yeah, okay, I see.
He was thinking about eating that hot dog.
He was playing Angry Birds on his phone.
I don't do that.
It came
but
free
anyway,
with it.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, there's a nice little nature walk there, a little short. They added one onto Steel Creek. That one's probably a half mile or so. There's also a good one at Dead Lake Marina. Where they build it's like a pier, but it goes along the bank, and you can walk out and see into the delta and
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and you're in the heart of it there. I was walking Luke at the one at Dead Lake, and I went by and I looked at the little armrest there on the side of it, and about a 9-foot water snake just sitting there sunning. And I walked Luke on down. I went, why didn't I video that? So I'll catch it on the way back. Mug was gone on the way back. But I mean, 9 feet and about an inch in diameter. That's how you know it's a water snake.
An osprey came down and got it.
That would be cool.
That'd be good on video.
But, you know, like I said, $2.5 million, you can do a lot of upgrades on.
True.
And I'm really interested to see how it's going to turn out. But it was nice to hear Cookie this morning.
Yeah.
With her calling in and me calling in, and what you had like 3 texters, so that means like
we had another lady this morning. We had one other lady call in.
Broke a record.
We
yeah, we're gonna have to take a week off here.
So we're gonna have to ask for a raise.
Come on, Sean. They one penny a week.
They might actually get a nappy next year.
Oh, at this point, it'll be like John Wayne getting the Academy Award for Rooster Cogburn's because you felt sorry for us because we're old. And you know what? I'm here for it. How about you, Mike?
Lifetime Achievement Award, Nappy. Nappy Lifetime Achievement. It took a lifetime to get one. No, I'm just kidding.
Jarhead, thanks for the call. You have a good weekend.
All right, you guys. Y'all have a great one. Provolone.
Provolone, buddy. Yeah, I've been up there to Dead Creek.
Dead Lake.
Yeah. It's all up in there. I've been a couple different areas up there. Gorgeous. And the trees.
We live right next to a natural place that is on par with anything in this country, with the Everglades, with Yellowstone, with Yosemite. And that's why I do Delta Safaris, to show that off to people.
Yeah.
It's incredible. There's a... tallest cypress tree in the state is deep in the Delta. It's 200 feet tall. When we settled this Delta, all that tall.
Mm.
And we clear cut all the cypress trees in the Delta to build houses with.
Hmm.
And they just left the smaller ones. And the theory on this one, and there's another one that's like 190 feet nearby, is that these were probably only about 10 feet tall when they came through. So they just left them. It takes hundreds of years for a cypress to get 200 feet tall.
Yeah.
We've got things like that. The Bottle Creek Mound system's in there. Just, we love where we live, don't we, Mike?
We do that. Hey, folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local service.
Explore the Delta.
Yeah, there's ways to do it.
Yep.
So anyway, get out there and if nothing else, just provolone.
Just provolone.